नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 टेक्स्ट 16 चैप्टर 29 एंटाइटल्ड भक्ति योगा टेक्स्ट 16। विसृज्यस्मयमानान् स्वान् दृशं व्रीडां च दैहिकम् प्रणमे दण्डवद् भूमौ आश्वच्चाण्डालगोखरम्। विसृज्यस्मयमानान् स्वान् दृशं व्रीडां च दैहिकम् प्रणमे दण्डवद् भूमौ आश्वच्चाण्डालगोखरम्। विसृज्यस्मयमानान् स्वान् दृशं व्रीडां च दैहिकीम् प्रणमे दण्डवद्भूमौ आश्वचाण्डालगोखरम्। विसृज्यस्मयमानान् स्वान् दृशं व्रीडां च दैहिकीम् प्रणमे दण्डवद्भूमा अश्वचाण्डालगोखरम्। विसृज्यस्मयमानान् स्वान् दृशं व्रीडां च दैहिकीम् प्रणमे दण्डवद्भूमा आश्वचाण्डालगोखरम्। विसृजेस्मयमानान् स्वान् दृशं व्रीडां च दैहिकीम् प्रणमे दण्डवद्भूमा आश्वच्चाण्डालगोखरम्। विसृज्यस्मयमानान् स्वान् प्रणमे दण्डवद्भूमा आश्वच्चाण्डालगोखरम्। वट् वर्ड् मीनिङ्ग्? विसृज्य गिविङ्ग् अप्, स्मयमानान् हू आर् लाफिङ्ग्, स्वान् वन्स् ओन् फ्रेण्ड्स्, दृशं द औट्लुक्, व्रीडां द एम्बरास्मेण्ट्, च एण्ड् दैहिकीम् आफ् द बाडिलि कन्सेप्शन्, प्रणमेत् वन् शुड् आफर् ओबिसेन्सेस्, दण्डवत् फालिङ्ग् डौन् लैक् अ राड्, भूमौ अपान् द ग्रौण्ड्, आ ईवन् श्व टु द डाग्स्, चाण्डाल औट्कास्ट्, गो काउज़, खरम् एण्ड् एसेस्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and His disciples. Disregarding the ridicule of one's companions, one should give up the bodily conception and its accompanying embarrassment. One should offer obeisances before all, even the dogs, outcasts, cows and asses, falling flat upon the ground like a rod. Purport. one should practice seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead within all creatures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised all devotees to consider themselves lower than a blade of grass and to be more tolerant than a tree. In such a humble position, one will not be disturbed in the prosecution of pure devotional service to the Lord. A devotee does not foolishly think that a cow or an ass is God, but rather the devotee sees the Supreme Lord within all creatures. And on this higher spiritual plane, he does not discriminate.
Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. So before beginning, I would like to seek blessings of all the assembled devotees, all the senior devotees, and those who are hearing online, wherever they are, please bless so that I can speak few words which can be beneficial and in the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam.
So here this section, this chapter is entitled Bhakti Yoga, and question asked by Uddhava was, please tell me the perfection, a quick perfection which can be attained quickly. And in answer to this chapter is spoken by Uddhava, Krishna, and Krishna is giving the perfection of both the practices of jnana and bhakta. And this verse is talking about the perfection of a jnani. So where it is mentioned that the jnani is able to see everywhere the presence, has equal vision, and is able to see cow, outcast, brahmana with an equal vision. So Bhagavad Gita says that jnana vidyana triptatma kutastho vijitendriha yukta iti uchyate yogi samaloshtrashma kanchanam. So this equal vision is possible, triptatma, one who is satisfied. Atma, whose mind, whose soul is completely satisfied, such a person, triptatma, can have equal vision towards the objects and towards the people. And this triptatma, how this satisfaction comes, says jnana vidjnana, because he is cultivating the knowledge. He is cultivating the knowledge of the Supreme, maybe Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagwan, in whatever the form. That knowledge cultivation, when that knowledge leads to the realization, vijnana, then his mind is completely satisfied, and in that state, he is actually able to practice this equal vision. So, jnana vijnana triptatma. Kutastho vijitendriya yukta iti chute yogi samaloshtrashma kanchana. That time, he is able to see the equally. So, this vision, for the jnani, it is a Brahman. He is able to see Brahman everywhere. And he sees the
presence of any matter he sees, like a stone, gold, anything. He says this is a manifestation of Brahman. And he heard so much glories of Brahman. How Brahman means the spirit basically. He heard the glories of spirit so much and he offered the respect. Oh, this is not the matter, this is the spirit. When he sees a living being or the... And when a Paramatma or a yogi, what he sees that, okay, this is the... He sees the Paramatma in everyone's heart. He sees the every particle is filled with Paramatma. There is a presence of Paramatma. And obviously he has heard so much about the Paramatma and he has so much awe and reverence for that. Then he offers the obeisances by seeing that. Bhakta's vision is little different. Bhakta is cultivating the knowledge of the personality of Godhead. And he is able to see the connection of the personality with the every object, every being, and even a Paramatma. Where the Paramatma's presence is there, he is able to see that this is nothing but the manifestation of my dear Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, so the relationship with the Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, is the prime most aspect in the life of a devotee. And here it is discussed the perfected stage of a devotee. So he is able to treat everyone as equally, like a stone, wood and a gold. Right? Sometimes opposite also. If there is a stone, right, and there is a gold, but that stone is Govardhan Shila, then he will use that gold to decorate the Shila, isn't it? Dust. But if it is from Vrindavan, he has more value than even that gold. Right? But he is not the fool. Right? If something is, iron is given and gold is, then he understands gold has a value which can be used in the service of Krishna. Right? So, but his vision is now tinged with the love for Krishna. So, this stage is for a bhakti practitioner, it is the stage of Uttama Adhikari. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, describes the different characteristics of such a Uttama Adhikari. Sarva Bhuteshu Yoha Pashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Atmanah Bhutani Bhagavad Atmani Esha Bhagavat Uttama. So this is the vision of a devotee. And Prabhupada writes, what is the qualification for this vision? Is it Premanjana Shurita Bhakti Vilochanena? So his vision is tinged with the love for Krishna. And he is able to see Shama Sundar Roop everywhere. Not just Brahman Paramatma. He is able to see the Shama Sundar Roop everywhere. Sir, Stavara Jangaman Dekhe Na Dekhe Tara Murti Sarvatra Haya Nija Ishta Devas Purti. And we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw the Chatak, he saw Sadak Parvati, he saw the Govardhan. Radharani is seeing the Tamal tree as Krishna. So this vision is possible when the heart is completely absorbed in the love for the worshipable deity or a supreme personality of God, Sri Krishna. It is like a vision of a lusty man, right? One who is fall in affair, right? And every thought, every message, every WhatsApp, he thinks maybe hers, right? It's completely conscious of the in every interactions. So similarly, a devotee who is actually a lover of Krishna, he is able to see Krishna in every aspect of his life. He is able to see every aspect of life. Along with this, there are other characteristics which pure devotee at the level of Uttama Adhikari exhibits, like unaffected. Others are unaffected by the in the practice of their devotional service, but Uttama Adhikari is not affected by this body. Deha Indriya Prana Mano Dhyamyo. Deha body goes to the birth, old age, disease and eventually death. At every stage it gives the obstacle in the practice of a devotee. But these limitations of the body doesn't give any hindrances for the execution of practice for the Uttamadhikari, such a Mahabhagavata. Pran, Indriya, Appaya, means the senses capacity goes on reducing, right? Right now we may be able to read, afterward eyes capacity goes down. Hearing capacity goes down, then the one is not able to remember Krishna. But at this level, because he's constantly absorbed in the love, so his practice and his remembrance of Krishna is unhindered by these external obstacles. Example is like Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. So they are completely free from hunger and thirst. They are not obstructed by the hunger and thirst, and they could actually absorb in the topics of Harikatha. They do not suffer the sufferings, right? Bhagavatam says ki Uru Vikrama Angrishaka.
Bhagavata Uru Vikramana Angrishaka Nakamani Chandrikaya Nirastatape. Lord's lotus feet are called as Uru Vikrama, means very heroic acts. Like the Vamana who raised his lotus feet and the pierced the universal shell and brought the water inside. Or the same lotus feet which he used by Krishna to dance on the Kaliya, or the same lotus feet which he used to kill the Kualayapid, hit the Kualayapid, right? So these lotus feet are Uru Vikram, are most wonderful activities, and that lotus feet is in the heart of a devotee, and the cap of or the nakha or nail of that lotus feet is like a moon, and it radiates the moonshine, and the moonshine destroys the heat generated by the whole day. So when that lotus feet is in the heart of a devotee, then Bhagavatam is saying how can he will suffer the miseries of this world, which is like a hot sun, and he feels that cooling experience from within the heart. And this lotus feet is not that once when he remembers, then only it is there. Bhagavatam says that when he is remembering Krishna, then Krishna enters into his heart, and by the pranaya rasanaya, by the ropes of his love, actually binds that lotus feet and keeps in the heart. So therefore he is always able to remember and experience Krishna everywhere. And anything what manifests through him may be anger, may be jealousy, all the emotions which comes out of which this pure devotee manifests, these are nothing but the different manifestations of prema. Just like if you make something out of gold, any ornament you make out of gold, but that is nothing but a gold. So similarly, this devotee, the different bhavas which appears in his life, they are nothing but the manifestations of prema. So this is the characteristics of your devotee. But these are not what are supposed to be practiced by everyone. This is not the recommendation of scriptures. This is the characteristics which has to be observed and glorified and honored. Bhagavatam says that anyone who imitates actually this, an imitator actually becomes an offender at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. What is imitation? So because we do not have that vision, equal vision, or the vision or a heart, constant vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so therefore the external activities and which are manifested emotions of a pure devotee, they are not to be imitated. So what is recommended is that anupashyati. So vision has to be cultivated in the footsteps following them. So Ishvarupanishad says that anupashyati should be followed. So what does it mean to follow? Means follow the instructions which are recommended for you, for us. Right? So therefore, scripture says, okay, they don't distinguish between the different categories. Atmavan manate jagat. Uttamadhikari actually says everyone is a pure devotee. When they see Krishna, they feel ecstatic. And the gopis when see in Vrindavan, so then they see the flower plants and the creepers. By seeing that flowers, they see, oh, the flower, this plant and creepers are in ecstasy. See these flowers, these are nothing but the goosebumps which are coming on their body. When they see the river, when the Krishna is playing a flute, so this river is stopped. Actually, it's very eager to embrace the lotus feet of Shri Krishna. And these creepers, lotus creepers, that river is using to bind the lotus feet of Krishna, and embrace lotus feet of Krishna. So these are nothing but the gopis who are in ecstasy, and their ecstasy is reflecting, and they are able to see everywhere. So they see Krishna everywhere, and they see Krishna and everything. And they are able to see everyone as in a pure devotee of Lord. Right? So, but the Madhyama is expected to differentiate. Madhyama is expected to differentiate because the people are in different modes, and his vision is not constant, fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore it is recommended for him to differentiate in order to protect his creeper of devotion, which is not yet fulfilled, reached to the platform of prema. So what kind of differentiation scriptures talk about? Ishvare tat adhineshu balishishu dvishyashucha prema maitri kripopeksha yah karoti samadhyama. So one must differentiate in these four categories. One is the Lord, and another is that among the people, make three sections. First is the devotees,
another is a dveshi, other is a balisha. Dvesha means the envious, and the balisha means who are ignorant. So Bhagavatam is giving us as a hint that make a differentiation. So therefore artificial attempt to see everyone equally is considered as unbona fide. So now today let's make a small attempt to see what are the different characteristics of this and how we can practice. So the prema is there in the Uttama Adhikari naturally, but the Madhyama Adhikari is actually try to cultivate that by his practice. Therefore there is a sadhana. He has a strong element of sadhana in his practice. And then there is a maitri. Maitri means among the different devotees. He cultivates the friendly attitude. Friendship with the devotees. So that friendship, what are the ingredients of friendship? Association, discussions and the care. That these are the points which are given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Jayavadharma. Is given an elaborate article on the what is the behavior of a devotee, what should be the behavior of a devotee, and he has elaborately describes it in detail. So he mentions over there that maitri should have these three aspects of the association, discussion and the care and concern among the devotees. And Ravindra Swarup Prabhu also gives very nicely the actually 8 points formula that how can a devotee individually and collectively rise from the Kanishta platform, which is involved with the conflict and the neophyteness, to the platform of a Madhyama, where there is a friendship among the devotees. He mentions that the first is that being conscious of others. When we are remaining in the devotee association, so the being conscious of others means someone else also exists except me. As simple as that. First is the awareness that the someone else also exists, who has the needs, who has his different. So this awareness actually goes to the five stages. First is that the awareness of the differences. We see that someone and he is different, right? Everyone comes with through the preaching and comes in the contact with the devotees. But then there are devotees already who are there with the different differences, different understanding, various differences. Second stage comes that the things one style is best. The ones someone have maybe outgoing, as that four categories are there, right? One is outgoing and the people oriented and activity oriented, right? Introvert and the people oriented, something, those four categories are there, right? So someone may think, oh, my style is the best. That is the second stage. One thing that what I am doing is the best. This is the way of best practice of devotional service. Then he goes to the third stage. Then he says actually diversity is necessary. It's not that what I do is the best because I cannot do everything. He realizes that I cannot do everything. I may be good at doing some service, but I may not have taste in the deity worship. I may be good in deity worship. Then I realize that the fund collection is also important, but somebody else is good in fund collection. Right? He may realize that somebody is in good fund collection may not be good in preaching. So he understands the diversity. And somebody, maybe not all this, but maybe good in interaction with the people, maybe good in his own practice. So he understands that diversity is necessary. That is the third stage he comes. Then the fourth stage is that, yes, he understands diversity is important, but he says that he gives the excuse, but I am like this only. So my nature is, suppose I am hot-tempered. So I'm like this only. Basically, everyone should adjust to me. So, yes, I understand diversity is there. Everyone should be there. But I am like this. You should accept me as it is. So that comes the fourth stage. And then the fifth stage, then the person starts to adjust himself. Because he realizes that actually it is not they need me. Actually, I need them. In the sense that I require their association. Then the person starts adjusting. When every individual of the at the individual level and the society level, one grows through from first stage to the fifth stage, then the devotees can live happily and cooperatively, and that maitri, in that maitri atmosphere, can the association or discussion of Krishna can happen, and actually elevates each other. Second, he talks about then the good communication for both, that the communication which is centered around Krishna and the both way. From the both in vertical and the horizontal every level. Third point he makes about the appreciation and respect. that appreciation and respect for the each and individual's contribution, small, that may be very, very small, understanding that Krishna is actually wants that, that is a house, big family, where everyone's contribution is important. And then the transcending individual differences. Fourth point, he says that transcending individual differences. So whatever the differences are there, how we overcome. Then the practice of honesty, humility, self-examination, empathy, and the resolving conflicts amicably. So in this way, when the devotee practices the maitri among the devotees, with keeping Krishna as the center, then gradually the person raises from the Kanishta level to the Madhyamadhikari level. So here, one thing should be noted is that the Uttama Adhikari is the completely seeing everyone as a devotee, so therefore, and he doesn't analyze the person before interacting. Whether it is a devotee, whether it is non-devotee, whether it is a Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama, he doesn't analyze. So therefore, the scriptural instruction that one should offer respects to the devotees, that doesn't apply to him, because he doesn't analyze only. And the Kanishta doesn't care for the devotees. So therefore, the scriptural injunction that one should respect devotees and serve devotees, offer devotees, doesn't apply to him also. So therefore, when the scriptures there that it says that one should serve, respect, offer obeisances to devotees, actually it is meant for the Madhyama Adhikari. Because he is supposed to distinguish the people and make the differentiation. So, how to associate? Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says ki one should cultivate these four attitudes. Atma Buddhi. We should consider the devotees as the self. It is exactly contrast to that verse. Yasya Atma Buddhi Kunape Tridhatuke. Materialistic consciousness is that Atma Buddhi Kunape. This body is considered as the soul. But the exactly opposite consciousness is that one should consider the devotees who are there around. That is my life and soul. Yasya Atma Buddhi. Then Swadhi Kalatradeshu. He considers that this wife, friends, and this car, property, that is his own. That is Swadhi. Mamata. That is his object of affection. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that one should cultivate that Mamata. They are mine to the devotees. And third is that Ijja Buddhi. He considers the birthplace as worshipable. And the devotee cultivates that the devotee's association is worshipable. Devotee is worshipable. And the fourth is the Tirtha Buddhi. Materialistic person thinks only water is worshipable at the Tirthas, or a place of where outside is at a distant place is worshipable. But the devotee is able to see that the association of devotee is right there with me. He is the personification of Tirtha. I need not to travel anywhere. So in this way, he cultivates the friendly association with the devotees, that is Maitri. And then fourth is that the Dveshi, or one who is envious person. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives very, very nice understanding to go little deep into this aspect of the envious mentality. What is envy or Dvesha? Dvesha is nothing exactly opposite of a Prema. Dvesha and Prema cannot exist together. And the Prema is for whom? Prema is directed towards the Krishna. So similarly, Dvesha is only directed towards Krishna by its definition. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this Dvesha has five ingredients, or this Dvesha can be of five categories. That is kind of like the basic ingredients on which all other things rise. And this is very important, so you can just remember these five things. And then we'll see how it evolves into the different philosophies. First is the not having faith in God's existence. Number one. Not having faith in the God's existence. That is the first item of Dvesha. Second is the belief that the Supreme Lord is nothing more than a natural phenomena. Even if there is a Lord, or whatever it happens, everything happens naturally. Just like they follow the rules, everyone is bound to follow the natural phenomena. Third is the not believing in the transcendental form of the Lord. So even if there is understanding of a Lord, that is, doesn't accept the Lord as a person and doesn't have a form which is beyond this matter. Fourth is that not accepting the position of a Jiva as the eternal servant of Lord. So even if they accept all other things,
but the living entity is not considered meant for serving the Lord. That understanding is not there. That is also a sign of dvesha or envy. And the fifth is the absence of mercy. So there is no compassion or the mercy in that. So these five ingredients are actually the dveshas. And from this five, with the different combinations, different philosophies springs up. First is that not having faith in God's existence. Philosophy is skepticism, which doubts everything. Skepticism springs from this. Or we can say the skepticism has this element of envy inbuilt in it. Second is the agnosticism, whether this is okay, even if there is a God, but cannot be proved, cannot be unknown by anyone, so let us not bother about it. Agnosticism. Third is the atheism, which is outrightly rejecting the existence of God itself. So all these three philosophy has the dvesha inbuilt inside. Then the second is that the not belief in the Supreme Lord is nothing more than natural phenomena. That is naturalism. Everything is by nature. Or in the Vedic context, if he talks about that, it comes the karma mimamsa. Even if there is Lord, he has to follow the laws of karma. That understanding. So when we talk about naturism or a karma mimamsa, we have to understand that there is envy inbuilt in this second dosha, dvesha. Third is that not believing in the transcendental form of the Lord, that is impersonalism. And the fourth is that not accepting the position of jiva, that leads to materialism. Means not serving anyone, but the self-enjoyment. And the fifth is the absence of mercy, which leads to cruelty. So these are the basic dveshas which are there. But these combinations of these different envies leads to the different philosophies. That leads to different philosophies. And this slowly and unknowingly encrypts into the society and surrounding us. First is that, just if you remember these numbers, first is that towards the God, not accepting. Second is the belief that the Supreme Lord is subservient to the nature. Third is the impersonalism. Fourth is the basically not accepting as a servitude of the God. And the fifth is the absence of mercy. So in the first, that is the skepticism. And the second, that the nature is supreme. This combined, then comes the philosophy of scientificism. So they consider the scientists, the idea is that the God cannot be, they remove the God from the picture. And then they focus on the nature, understanding nature as the supreme. So why this is important, I'm saying that because it means that there is inherent the dvesha or the hatred towards the God inbuilt in that understanding. Then if you consider first four, that not understanding the accepting the supreme personality of Godhead, neither the form, neither the belief that the accepting the supreme Lord, nature as the supreme, but there is a mercy, that is a philosophy of Buddhism. And when that element of mercy is also removed, then comes the philosophy of Neo-Buddhism. Right? When the element of third and fourth, where there is doesn't accept the transcendental form of our Lord, right? And mercy is there. In the absence of accepting the Lord, form of a Lord, and not accepting the servitude, then comes the philosophy of Mayavad. So it means the Mayavad has also the inbuilt envy. Right? So then when third and fourth are there, third and fifth are there, that is not believing in the transcendental form of the Lord. They believe in the Lord, the belief in the Lord is there, then when they accept that, but it is not personal form of the Lord, they accept the servitude to the Lord, but no acceptance of mercy to the other living beings. Then the philosophy of extremism, religious extremism or jihad comes into picture. Right? Then if all four are there, except mercy is not there, then except mercy or the one mercy is there only, then comes the philosophy of Marxvad. Where he says that the criticism begins with the criticism of religion. This is often starts with the point of, he says that religion is the opium of the people. His idea of religion is that the life through the lens of religion, they blind the realities of the life. And it is give the false hope to comfort the poor. And when that Marxvad added with the cruelty, then becomes a Maoist. What is the Maoist philosophy? War is politics with blood, and politics is war with blood. And similarly, the all different philosophies which spring up, that can be feminist movement or social reforms or LGBTQ, whatever the movements are there, it has inbuilt tinge of envy which can be drawn to the one of these five ingredients. One of the five ingredients. Why it is important? And this, the people who follow these philosophies can be of four categories actually. There can be role models or worshipables. They have their own role models and worshipable personalities, worshipable books and the objects and their symbols. Second are the promoters, who promote these different philosophies. Third are the followers. They follow these philosophies. And fourth are the influenced. Those are actually influenced by such philosophies. But why is it important to discuss this? Because by definition, the pure devotion is there, is uncovered, and it's anukulena Krishna anushilanam. So this anukul or favorable attitudes toward Krishna is not possible when there is an element or tinge of envy from anywhere else coming into the picture. So therefore, when the practice of devotional service has any of the affiliations with the different philosophies which is inbuilt, has the existence of envy towards the Lord, then the practice will not be pure. So therefore, it is very important for us person to understand what is pure devotional service and how the envy may creep into his practice. And so therefore, the understanding the different philosophies and its connection with the mentality of envy is very, very important. And how to deal with this dveshis, or the scriptures talk about the upeksha, or the avoid their company. First recommendation is to avoid their company. But if there is someone in the family member, what will do? So then scripture recommendation is that do the human exchanges. So upeksha is to terminate all spiritual exchanges with the different envious people. But not the social exchanges. The social exchanges can remain, but all the spiritual exchanges are to be restricted. Another is that the thumb rule is that without getting into deep involvement or the emotional relationship with them, one should not get close emotionally towards the people who have such philosophies. And because this is not suitable for practice of hearing and chanting with those people, we cannot have spiritual interactions with them. So therefore, we need to practice upeksha. Why to follow upeksha or indifference with them? Because they are self-opinionated. They have already made their opinions. They have already subscribed to their philosophies. Any interaction with them only leads to argument. Only leads to argument. Right? Once we are going to for book distribution, and we reached at one school, and he said, "Ki, just a bit, you go somewhere, and after 10-15 minutes, you come back." I said, "Wow, very good." So we went somewhere, did some book distribution here and there, again come back. He gave on a time also, this time you reach, we reach there. And everything was set. He called us and he's told to speak to the students. And we addressed the students. And then one student raised the question. And fifth standard, not only fifth standard, I think fourth standard, third, fourth, fifth standard, some small kids actually. Right? But one kid raised his hand and said, "Ki, why Krishna married 16,000 queens? Isn't it right? Isn't it wrong?" So answered somehow. Then another question, why Krishna did like this? Then why this, why that? Well, people don't understand even their syllabus, names or topics. But they are answering such a big, big questions. Right? So then we realize, actually what happened is that the teacher has already planted all these questions. And then when we started answering, so then it becomes, because they are getting answers also. They are small children. When you explain logically, they also accept. They were already washed.
But when you explain logically, that also makes sense to them, right? But when things was going, when teacher is seeing that is going another direction, and then the obviously children asking one more question, another question, so then you have to stop somewhere, right? Then in such a situations, instead of sticking to the logic, they go to the emotional then, and then just they removed everything point, and they said, you become angry. But no anger, but from their point of view, it is anger, raising a voice or something like that. And the whole discussion turned from the point to the teacher and us. Right? Teacher and us. Then that becomes into conflict. It nothing benefit us, neither they. Not a single book went, only time went. Right? So therefore it is recommended that the avoid. Therefore Upeksha is recommended. Example of Narada and Daksha. Narada when he went to Daksha to teach something, but Daksha became angry and actually cursed. He himself got demoted, or he himself destroyed his whatever the piety is there, and the Narada also could not serve his purpose. So therefore it is recommended to practice the Upeksha. We can see something from the scriptures also. We have the example of Hiranyakashipu, who is the embodiment of envy. Hiranyakashipu thought, this my brother is killed, Hiranyaksha, and he decided to take a revenge. Who is that person of who killed this? Vishnu has killed. So let me take a revenge. Went there, performed austerities, got some powers, came back, right? Found, started looking for Vishnu. He couldn't find Vishnu. So what he saw? Oh, these are the people who represent the Vishnu. And he started persecution of cows and brahmanas. Isn't it? So when such an envious mentality or philosophies are there, what happens? Their problems are genuine. The philosophies which are coming up, their problems are genuine. Right? For example, the injustice, social injustice, inequality, poverty, these problems are genuine. But the solutions and conclusions they come with it, that just like a death of a Hiranyaksha was truth. But the responsibility of it is blaming Vishnu was not right. So similarly, these problems are true. Poverty is there, inequality is there, then the injustice is there. But blaming that on the spiritual culture, which is centered around Brahmanical culture and the cow protection and the Vedas, that is wrong. Because that is directed towards the Vedic culture, which is centered around the Krishna consciousness. Right? So that is there. So then who represents them? Obviously, devotees, brahmanas, cows, deities, temples, and that becomes their object of persecution. That becomes the object of persecution. So that envy is there for the Lord, but that manifests because they can't find Lord. So that manifests in the persecution of the representatives of the Lord. And their austerity is nothing but the gaining the powers. Right? So therefore, any strength or any power that becomes result in the more persecution of the representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee. He completely dependent on the Lord. For his own protection, he is completely dependent on the Lord because he is a Mahabhagavat. He is able to see even the Lord's presence in the Hiranyakashipu. He said, your strength is coming from Lord. He was able to see the Narsingha in every pillar. Right? So Prabhupada writes at one place, what harm can the so-called enemy do that the devotee is confident about his protection? And the Lord says, according to the proportion of one surrender upon me, I respond accordingly. So Prahlad Maharaj was completely surrendered and he received a complete protection. So another example we can see is the Pandavas and Duryodhana. Duryodhana was a personification of envy, and he was persecuting the Pandavas right from the childhood. Tried to poison Bhima, then the gambling match, then the tried to burn, then the 12 years of Vanvas and the incognito, right? And all the places, if you see the approach of Pandavas, that is what kind of indifference. They were absorbed in practice of their own dharma. They were not focused on the Duryodhana or the A, right? But if you see whole practice, so they were indifferent, but the Duryodhana was persistent to get on them. Even in the forest, on the pretext of cows, he went to cow counting, he went there and started to bully the Pandavas. So this envy forces them to look for it. So the point is that even if you want to practice indifference, it is not possible when the other party is not practicing indifference for you. As a thumb rule is that the values
interpersonal values can be practiced among the people who value those values. Otherwise, that is not possible. So similarly, this indifference, yes, it is possible to be indifferent to the different envious philosophies only when they practice indifference to you. Right? So the Pandavas can be indifferent to the all the Kauravas, but the Kauravas were not indifferent to them. Even if they were wanting to live just for 5 villages, but they were not ready to give him 5 villages. Right? So therefore they can't practice indifference towards the So they practice indifference, avoided them, but that avoidance along with the coupled with the preparation for the confrontation. So therefore when the because Kurukshetra was there, Kurukshetra war do happen. So the preparation, that upeksha which practiced by Pandavas was actually included the preparation for the eventual confrontation. Why it was necessary? Because the another party was hell-bent on confronting. Right? So therefore, upeksha also do include the element of preparation. Another is that we see the example of Krishna. Krishna comes in this world to destroy those who are envious. But Krishna never went to anywhere to kill the demon. Actually, all the demons came to Krishna to kill. In the Vrindavan, in the outside also, Kamsa himself invited him. Then the Jarasandha, then the all the demons actually came to Krishna to fight. If they would have remained there happily, indifferent to Krishna, probably Krishna would have not killed him. Okay? So then, when they came to him out of envy, then Krishna dealt with them. Right? So therefore, here we can see that the Krishna was always alert to their activities, of the demonic activities. When Krishna was in Vrindavan actually, the pastimes of Vrindavan are described, but as soon as Krishna reached to Mathura, first things he says that he sends Akurala to the Hastinapur, giving the message. Because Krishna was actually aware of all the politics when he was there in the Vrindavan only. As Goenka says that he is spiritually absorbed, socially sensitive and politically alert. Krishna himself exhibits that. He was actually alert to the activities what were there in the Hastinapur. Another characteristic is that the philosophies, the different philosophies, there is a constant unity among them which are opportunistic. These philosophies are loggerheaded with each other. But when it's come to the envy toward the Lord and his representative and the disculture, then there is a unanimity among them and there is unity which can exist on that platform. And the scriptures says that one should not hear the blasphemy of the Lord. And if one happens to hear the blasphemy of the Lord, then either he has to punish the person or defeat in the argument or they leave the place. Right? So the punishing not possible, you don't have power in the hand. And then the left option is the leaving the place, which is kind of objection, avoidance. And the third is the confronting in the defeat. Or the leaving is like a closing your eyes. But this is a connected world. The blasphemy is everywhere. You cannot avoid the blasphemy. Exposure to the blasphemy. How long? Either you have to close your eyes only. Right? So the better option is that being prepared for the confronting the arguments. Some may say that, okay, but one may object, we can show the compassion to them. But actually that is not Shastric. Because compassion to them is not recommended even by the scriptures. Right? The envious mentality, compassion is not the solution which is recommended by the scriptures. Right? So Krishna also never showed compassion to the demons except the Kaliya. Because Kaliya actually transformed by the prayers of the devotees. And Vishnu chapter writes actually how to practice upeksha. He says that the Vaishnava Sadachari is that he should keep a distance from the envious, but at the same time should contemplate and pray for their deliverance. So we can see in the element this practice in the Kaliya case. So actually devotees prayed and the Krishna showed their mercy. So from this we can understand how one can practice this upeksha. How one can practice this upeksha. Why it is important? Other it is detrimental to the one's own practice of bhakti. If he doesn't practice this upeksha properly. And so fourth is the kripa. Or the showing mercy to the ignorant persons. While those are ignorant means what? They are neither devotees, neither envious. But they are open to the Lord. So such a person should be shown compassion and to be preached. And while preaching, so one of the element of that is that they have to be removed, because they are the people who are having the influences of all the distortions. So those distortions has to be removed by the instructions, by the care, and by association, care, and the spiritual instructions. In this way, one is supposed to show compassion to the innocent people and bring them to the platform of pure devotional service. So, thank you for patient hearing. So, if any questions are there, we can take, or we'll stop here.
You have mentioned this, all the instructions given in the scriptures, they are mainly meant for Madhyama Adhikari, not Kanishta or Uttama Adhikari. So generally I was thinking for Kanishta to rise himself from that platform to Madhyama and then to Uttama, he need to follow that. Madhyama is already following and he knows what is right and what is wrong.
Okay, so the question is that the instructions are meant for Kanishta and Madhyama actually knows what is right, what is wrong. So actually what happens is that the scripture can give instruction to those people who have faith on scriptures. And the Kanishta's unique characteristic is that he is worshipping the deity, but his faith is not based on scriptures. He is worshipping the deity because of the Laukika Shraddha. Laukika Shraddha means either he is from tradition, ghar mein pehle se puja karte hain, either he is from a Hindu family background, so he is worshipping the deity, doesn't mind, actually, or he thinks that it is a trendy or inspired by someone else, or some person who he look forward, he is worshipping that deity, so he will worship that. Or the culture, dance, drama, he likes that, so he worships the deity. So he is worshipping the deity, but that is not coming out of his the faith on the scriptures. It is coming from the faith, a laukiki shraddha. Because he do not have faith on the scriptures, the instructions of the scriptures do not apply to him. So therefore, scriptures cannot instruct him. So when such a person comes across with the devotees, because he has a faith in the temple, he maintains the temple also, and then there the devotees comes, and he respects them, and he happens to hear the scriptures, and by that hearing, what happens, he slowly, slowly, slowly develops faith on the scriptures, and sees the conduct of a devotee, by seeing the conduct of a devotee and developing a faith on the scriptures, is gradually comes to the platform of Madhyama, and where the instructions he understands, actually I should develop a relationship with the devotees, not just guest. His faith toward devotees is like a guest. Just like koi guest aata hai, toh hum achcha treatment dete hai, aisa nahi ki unko bura. But that is any guest, he will treat any guest like that only. But when he comes to Madhyama Adhikari, when devotee comes, he is not any guest. Now he is a worshipable person. So therefore, treatment is completely different. So therefore, the scriptural injections are directed towards the Madhyama. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.